Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Videographers ultimately get a second chance at their lawsuit. These are individuals who believe that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and they want to use their talents accordingly. We're going to be talking about this case on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber and Holly Mead. Well, a federal court of appeals recently paved the way for two Christian videographers to continue with their lawsuit with regards to their talents, called Telescope Media Group, to be used according to their religious convictions. They challenged the Minnesota Human Rights Act as unconstitutional. A lower court judge in Minneapolis dismissed their case after finding that their professional policy of promoting marriage as a bond between one man and one woman was akin to posting a sign, he said, or the judge said, that white applicants only are welcome.
Absurd.
But the Court of Appeals, Matt, has now reversed that awful decision, emphasizing that the Larsons, Carl and Angel Larson, have a First Amendment right to, quote, choose when to speak and what to say, close
exactly.
quote.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What this lower court judge, he's saying, and he's towing the line of those who would silence all dissent. But it's worse than just silencing. Here we're talking about compelling people to affirmatively use their gifts, their art, their skills in order to further and promote a message which is in violation of the Bible, which is in violation of their deeply held, their sincerely held religious beliefs. And you know, we got rid of indentured servitude a long time ago. So to compel people to affirmatively engage in labor for other individuals to promote a message that they find unconscionable is in itself unconscionable.
Yeah, but does this judge not see there's a difference between race and choice of lifestyle?
Well, and this is what the Court of Appeals said. U.S. Circuit Judge David Strauss wrote that even anti-discrimination laws, as critically important as they are, must yield to the Constitution. He goes on to say, and as compelling as the interest in preventing discriminatory conduct may be, speech is treated differently under the First Amendment. He cited to the 1995 landmark decision at the U.S. Supreme Court called Hurley versus Irish American Gay, Lesbian, and Bisexual Group of Boston, which held that a private organization, even if the organization was planning on and had permits for a public demonstration, were permitted to exclude groups if those groups presented a message contrary to the one the organization wanted to convey. In that case, remember, this was a parade in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And the group, they wanted to have a parade, but they wanted to have a certain message because they were a private organization that got a parade permit. And you can have a parade permit because you want to have a certain message. And what happened is these gay, lesbian, and bisexual group of Boston, they wanted to be included in that parade. And the private organization said, no, that would be contrary to the message that we want to present. They filed suit. The U.S. Supreme Court said that you cannot force your speech on some private organization, and that if you wanted your own parade, you can have your own parade, but you can't force that speech into someone else's speech. You can't force them to carry your speech. And that's exactly what we have here. This is Telescope Media Group. It's owned by Carl and Angel Larson. They believe, rightly so, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. They want to use their film talents to promote strong marriages. So they were approached by the homosexuals, and they wanted the same company to ultimately promote a different kind of marriage. They wanted them to promote same-sex marriage, and they declined to do so.
Right.
Then they ultimately were targeted by the human rights law as violating the human rights law on the issue of sexual orientation. So they filed a lawsuit against the human rights law and ultimately lost in the lower court with this horrible decision that I mentioned earlier by the lower court judge, but then won at the Court of Appeals. In other words, they can continue their lawsuit and they have a great victory at this stage.
Do we know if it will be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court?
We don't know that it will be, but maybe the homosexuals in the case might ask the court to ultimately take this case. You know, the Supreme Court.
About a 1% chance.
Yeah, yeah. And you know who's the attorney general in Minnesota now who blasted the ruling? Keith Ellison.
Oh,
you remember
yeah.
Keith Ellison?
Mm-hmm.
Keith Ellison was elected to Congress, to the U.S. House, as a Muslim. He decided that he wanted to take the oath of office on Thomas Jefferson's Quran, not the Bible, on the Quran, but the Quran in the library of Thomas Jefferson. Now, what he didn't realize is his history. Why did Thomas Jefferson have the Quran? That's a whole different story, but Thomas Jefferson had the Quran not because he believed in the Quran, but because he was dispatched by President John Adams, the second president of the United States, to find out why the Barbary pirates and the other pirates off of the Libyan coast were wanting to capture for ransom our sailors. Why did they want to continue to kill them? Why did they want to continue to do all of this? And so he got a Quran to figure out what was going on in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Why were they motivated to do what they did? So he now is the attorney general. So he blasted the ruling.
Not surprisingly.
Yeah. The ruling, of course, is a great ruling, and it's a good victory for those like the Larsons who have a sincerely held religious belief.
It's encouraging, but there's an important distinction that bears repeating here between this and what we typically see with the free speech cases. A lot of times the government is seeking to quash free speech, to silence a message. In this case, the homosexuals that sued were seeking to compel speech, to force somebody to say something effectively that they want them to say that those individuals strongly disagree with. So this is a step further. This is trying to compel speech, not silence speech.
Yeah, now it was a 2-1 decision, and Judge Jane Kelly wrote a dissent saying that this ruling marks the first time a court has afforded affirmative constitutional protections to private discrimination, close quote. That's her words. But, you know, these cases, whether it's the baker, whether it's the florist, whether it's the photographer, whether it's a media group that wants to use their talents for expressive activity, these are all involving speech. They're different than, say, the restaurant that's selling food, and you bar someone from sitting down having a meal for whatever reason. These are entities, these are organizations, these are individuals who engage in an expressive activity. They are creating art. They are creating speech. And obviously you can't get more speech related than a media company that wants to use their talents to promote strong marriages.
And again, it's about punishing them. I mean, it's not like there's not any other filmmakers in St. Louis, for Pete's sake. They're just trying to punish this couple for standing for their sincerely held religious beliefs.
That's exactly right. And so we've had two cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. We've had the cases involving the Colorado baker, Jack Phillips. We've also had Baronelle Stutzman there. We've had the other case regarding Melissa's Sweet Cakes, Sweet Cakes by Melissa.
Melissa Klein.
Melissa,
and Aaron
Melissa Klein. Mm-hmm. Those cases have not been fundamentally ruled on the merits. They all ultimately were sent back by the lower court in favor of the individuals, but on the basis that the lower courts or lower decision makers use religious hostility or what they call animus. And therefore, they sided with him on that basis. But they haven't actually sided, they haven't actually decided the issue like what's presented here in this case. So this case would be a good case to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. Of course, it's up to the losing side to ask the high court to take this case. They may well see this as a case they want to take up. We'll see. If so, it could ultimately be before the Supreme Court by the end of the term in 2020. But it's going to be one of these kind of cases that the Supreme Court ultimately will have to weigh in on. And I believe it's very clear. The First Amendment protects private individual expressive activity. The government can't force you to carry a message, just like what happened in California. The government can't force crisis pregnancy centers to carry a pro-abortion message. Stand with us as we stand with all of these different issues affecting religious liberty, life, and family. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. lc.org. Sign up for our emails right there under the subscribe tab, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.